Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know that God has called His entire church with three commands in the New Covenant, that we are to love God, love others, and go. And today we are literally doing that. We are going from this place to our new facility after this day. And what a day it has been. We've been telling you on the internet that we have some exciting news, and it is very exciting. This is the last service that you on the internet will see here at this facility where we have called Sanctuary for 12 years. And we will be moving on to the place where God has prepared for us. God has made a way, and He has blessed us with a new facility and new friends, new family, that we may come together as the Heart of Christ Church in a new area in Jonestown, Pennsylvania. So next week, this is all going to be different. And in fact, next week you're probably going to see a bit of our mess because it won't all be back together as of yet. But on the 15th of this month, we are opening our services to the community that is out there that you can join us in our Dedication Sunday, where we will have our National Minister of the Evangelical Association with us to dedicate our new facility and open it to the ministry that God has given to us. But today I want to talk to us about this journey that we've been on. How many of you pursue the things of life that you lay on your heart, the goals that you lay out there, that they are your desires? They are our hopes, because that's what we look forward to. And pursuing hope in our world is one thing, but pursuing hope in our spirits is another. Because in pursuing hope in this world, many of us chase after things, because we think those things are going to make us more complete. Now, I don't know about you, but I like some of my things because, you know, I don't have to work so hard. You know, I think about the fact that I have a riding mower. I don't have to push it. I like the fact that I have a weed whacker, and I don't have to. And y'all who are from the 60s and 70s know what I'm talking about. Get those yard shears out, and, you know, till you're done with them, you think, oh, I'll never be able to use this hand again. Okay? We all love our creature comforts, but those things don't lead to anything more than temporal pleasures, and they're gone. But we are far more than temporal beings, for each and every one of us, whether you're in Christ Jesus or not, is an eternal being, and we will all have an eternity. Can I get an amen, church? So we need to pursue a hope that is going to help us secure that eternal truth. Because no matter what happens, we will face an eternity. Those who reject that idea have no true hope. For we know that our hope is not something that we can hold on to. Someone else has to hold it. And He has a name, and His name is Jesus Christ. It is through His sacrifice, it is through His propitiation that each and every one of us is saved. When we think about that truth, pursuing hope, it sounds like a noble thing. It sounds like it's something that would be fun, doesn't it? Sounds like something that would be filled with joy and goodness and gladness and all the days of our lives. That, you know, if we're going to live in this hope that you're talking about, well, there'll be so much joy and so much everlasting peace that, you know, nothing can ever go wrong, right? How many of you have read that book? Because it's quite the different story. Because it's one of the things that I teach all the time, especially to non-Christians, because they'll look at me and say, oh, well, you just need a crutch, because, you know, that makes life easy for you. I'm going to tell you all right now, and most of you will agree with me, and those of you who don't know, I pray you find out, Becoming a Christian is the hardest thing you will ever do in your life because it calls us to something higher, something we cannot attain to. Can I get an amen, church? But there is a way to get there. And that way, we know because he told us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. And his name is Jesus Christ. So let us turn to his word as we look at pursuing hope and what that means and how that has worked for us as a congregation to this point. Turn to Romans in chapter 5. Romans in chapter 5. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 6, and then I will elaborate a bit. From the 5th chapter of the book of Romans, beginning in the first verse, thus saith the word of the Lord. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. But not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who he has given to us. For while we were still sinners, helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. As I look at these words and as I see what God is trying to tell us here, he's telling us that yes, we have a hope because that hope has been given to us through faith in Jesus Christ. But in that hope, things are going to come against us. Things are going to happen. And those things here are called tribulation. We know that tribulation is going to come in this world. We know that this body's going to fall apart. We're going to get older. You know, when you become a Christian, you don't stop aging and everything gets better. We continue to age. And guess what happens to the body as you age? If you don't know by now, it falls apart. It starts to degrade. But so is our world. I want you to think about this. Our world tells us that society is getting better. How many of you see better? How many of you see things getting worse? We may have more technology, we may have more medicine, but how many more people are sick today than were before? How many of us can count, you know, I can remember when I was a little boy, I never even heard the word cancer. I had no idea what cancer was until my father got cancer. And then all of a sudden I started realizing, oh my goodness, look how many people have cancer. Today, I know more people with cancer than I ever thought I would because the amount of sickness is increasing. What's going on? Our world is falling apart. Tribulation is going to come because we live in a society where God is no longer keeping everything as it was in the days before Noah's flood because God has raised his hand from the earth. And the curse is coming into this world. So we're going to have tribulation because Adam and Eve sinned. And we too sin in our lives. So therefore tribulation is going to come. But in Christ Jesus, we don't give up because we know there is a victory. Can I get an amen, church? And as I think of where we are as a church and the things that we've seen and what we've gone through, you know, and many of you may not know this, but we went to several different churches, well, two churches that I can remember, that we literally looked at and talked to and you know, were determining whether or not this was something that could work. The one in particular, we presented everything to them. It was a church that was in need of help, need of assistance. We were a growing church. We were a prospering church. God was blessing us, and we didn't go arrogantly. We went looking because the opportunity had presented itself. And it fell apart. Do y'all remember that? It did not happen because it was not meant to be, because our theology and their theology, our doctrine and their doctrine did not match up. And we were not willing to compromise our doctrine. We were not willing to compromise our theology. We were not willing to compromise Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I get an amen, church? Because that is what the Lord taught us through the Old Testament. And now He's brought the new covenant in Christ. That we live in a grace. We live outside the law, yet recognizing the law that it's there. Can I get an amen, church? That all Christians are to try to attain to the law, but none of us can say Jesus Christ, who comes and gives us by grace the ability, for He fulfilled the law in all that He has done. But the troubles are still going to come. But don't give up. Continue moving forward. Because as we move forward in perseverance, we understand that that perseverance is building the character. What character is it building? It is bringing back to us the image of Christ in us. As we continue on with all the things that come, we are transformed. We no longer do the things that we used to could, but now don't want to. Isn't that we can't, but that we choose not to. Can I get an amen, church? And that's tough, because that means you got to fight your own will, isn't it? You know, the things I want to do and the things I want become less, and Christ becomes more. And it's so amazing, because all of a sudden, I don't need that $100,000 a year, $200,000 a year job that keeps me away from my family and my children and everything else, because I'm not worshiping the money anymore. I'm seeking the Lord, and the Lord tells me that I am to love Him, love others, and go. And loving others begins with loving your own family. Can I get an amen, church? And then it extends to our church family and to our community and to our world. Do you see how this stuff begins to work? Because I'm going to tell you right now, and y'all know this, and I pray I don't make anybody mad, but I really don't care. You people really torque me off sometimes. And I know I torque you off. And you know what? It's okay, because we can talk and we can grow and we can rub on one another. Iron sharpens iron. And we grow and we change and we become something so much better than what we were. But we've got to be willing to see the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And is that not what we read? That the Holy Spirit is the one doing this work in us. That as these tribulations come, that we in perseverance continue on and He builds character in us. And character leads to what? Hope. Because we know, we see the change in ourselves and in our brothers and in our sisters, and all of a sudden we see the glory of God coming and more opportunities are opening up, but we've got to walk through it. So there's going to be tribulation and there's going to be disappointment, but that disappointment does not make us stop. It builds character and we continue on. You know, I think about where we've been in the past and how many times we've been told, oh, you're going to fail, you're not going to succeed. You know, this is a pipe dream. And I think to myself, I can't wait to talk to some of those people, because now they get to eat their words. Of course, that's the fleshly me. So we all know I shan't do such things, except in my own mind. But we have a reality that we are all sharing right now. Each and every one of us here, and those of you who have been with us for some time. Because the reality is, God has heard our prayers, and we've been steadfast. We've come into the troubles. We've come into the trials. We've not stopped. We've sought His face. We've humbled ourselves together to one another, holding fast to this word, not compromising it in any way, not compromising it in any way, but holding each other to it. Can I get an amen? And I'm looking at some of you who have had to hold me to it, and I've had to hold you to it. And we don't give up on Him, His word, His hope, and He sees us through. And it changes us here, each and every one of us. Because when we begin to change this, God rejects us. But when we hold to this, even though we're messed up, and I don't know about you, but y'all, you know, talk to that lady there. She'll tell you just how messed up your pastor is. Just don't tell him everything, sweetie. You know I'm picking on Miss Lynn. She's probably turning red, right? She is. Her face is red. But it's a truth. We all have trials. We all have tribulations. We all have troubles. But God, when we allow Him in among us, with us, He guides us through them, and He guides us to better places. Do y'all remember the prophecy that the Lord had me speak? It was Psalm 23. How many of you remember that? It was Psalm 23. The Lord is my God. I shall not want. We all know the psalm. He leadeth me unto green pastures. How many of us realize we're going into a new pasture? And it is green, it is ready, it is ripe. He leadeth me beside quiet waters. We're coming in there as the Heart of Christ Church, unashamed, unabashed, not having to change who we are or what we believe, but holding fast to that which He's taught us, which He's kept us with. And I think of these things, and you know, that psalm even says that we're going to have trouble. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of who? Mine enemies. We need to remember, when we get there, we're not done. There's going to be those who are going to come against us. And that happens in the world everywhere with the church. But as we continue to move forward in perseverance, God will build character not only in us, but into the community that we're going to reach, that people are going to see that we are people of God, that we do love them and we do care for the community that we're moving into. We're going to have to get to know some new people. Amen? And that's going to be a good time, because that means we're going to go on our prayer walks up at Jonestown, and we're going to meet a whole new community and love on these folks. I mean, I cannot wait for the things that God has in store for us. And it's so amazing to me, because as we see this and we are changed, we can see that we're headed right to the very ones that He talks about in verse 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Do you realize we are bringing that reality with us as we go? Now, does that mean that, you know, the people that we're going to, they're all pagans and you know, we're going to go out there and we're going to hammer them with the Bible and we're going to... No. They're no different than us. They're broken, they're hurting, and they want to have hope. But what we're going to do is present to them what we know is the hope that truly is hope, the hope of Jesus Christ. And there are many who are there. In fact, we have some in our congregation that have longed for this day to come when the gospel of the Lord would be brought in its fullness. Not that it wasn't there, amen? It was. But there wasn't the energy because the congregation had dwindled down. And now the Lord is giving that to us, and He's saying, now go. Are we prepared, brothers and sisters? Have we allowed the trials and tribulations that we have gone through to build perseverance, to build character, and to build enough hope that when we get there, We aren't done. As Pastor David said the other week, it ain't time to sit down and say we have arrived. It's time to work. There is so much to do. And isn't that what we've looked forward to? We've been doing it here. We're not going to stop. In fact, I need your efforts all the more as we move forward. Because God does not decrease, God increases. And when God increases in our lives, what does he say? To whom much is given, nothing is required. And Brother Wendell's back there like, no, Pastor. To whom much is given, much is required. And today I proclaim that. And today I believe, because we know the heart of Christ, we're ready for that. Can I get an amen? But I'm going to warn you, three things are going to come. Three things are going to come. Okay? Pastor's going to turn prophetic for just a moment. Three things are going to come. Pete's going to put them up here on the screen right now. The first one is from Matthew 3 and 10. You don't need to turn there. It's on the screen. The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. We need to understand that when God moves us, when God does a work, God is going to lay the axe to the tree. We're getting ready to move from here. He's going to lay the axe to the tree, and there are going to be things that are going to change. There are going to be things that need to be separated from us. Because we are moving, we are going somewhere else. And God is going to bring that axe to the tree. It happens all the time. It doesn't mean that we're bad people. It doesn't mean that, oh my gosh, you know. No, what it means is what it means. God is letting us know that truth and that reality, that there's a separation coming. We are going to separate from this place, okay? We are going to have to separate from some things. I mean, how many of us, you know, when we're in a place for a while and we're doing it this way and now we're going to a new place, well, that's the way we've always done it. Guess what? God's getting ready to do a new thing. Are you going to come along or are you going to stay back there? I need to move forward. Can I get an amen? So the axe is going to come to the tree. Things are going to change. There's going to be some separation. Number two, there will be a purging. Back to the 3:12. Sorry, Pete. From Matthew 3 and 12. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. We need to understand that as God moves his people closer and closer to perfection, God will cleanse us. Can I get an amen? That's called purging. God refines us. This is the refining that God uses. There are several scriptures that I could have used, but I liked this one. Why? Because it talks about tossing this thing, where it's going up in the air and the chaff is being blown away. Because there are other places where it talks about being thrown into the fire, and they're a little aggressive. How many of us like the aggressiveness of God? I want it to be a gentle breeze blowing. Do you hear your pastor asking, pleading, let's not make this any harder than we have to. Let's let the power of the Lord separate these things from. They are coming. Jesus has told us these things. If we're truly following Christ, we better understand that if we are going to walk with the Lord, these three things are coming. So he is going to bring separation. He's going to bring purging, where he is going to cleanse us even more. So in other words, we have not arrived yet. We still got a little way to go in our spiritual purification. And then the last one is John 15 and 2. John 15 and 2 says unto us, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bear fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. We don't need to worry about being taken away. But we're getting ready to move. And what do you do with a tree or a bush or a fruit tree or anything? When you uproot it and transplant it, what's the first thing you do to that tree? You prune it. Because if you don't, the roots cannot sustain the full tree. It will die. So God is going to prune us. He is going to look at us and he's going to say, some of these things are going to need to go and other things are going to need to come. There will always be a pruning. I don't know what these things are going to look like, but I can tell you right now they're coming. And in them, it is my hope that we will plug in the perseverance that we know, that we will work through them, that we will talk about them one to another, and that we will begin to devise a plan, a 3, 5, 10-year plan to grow this church yet into the Heart of Christ Church, Jonestown. Because even though I can say we are there because we own the facility, it's not who we are yet. Why isn't it who we are yet? Because we haven't been there. We're going to learn that as we go, and that's where the pruning is going to come. We're already bearing fruit, but things may change a little bit from where we are. Can you see what I'm talking about? These three things are coming, and we cannot give up on the hope we have, because God is going to change us. He's building our character, yet again, unto the hope of what we are yet becoming. Because when you move up a step, now you've got more to deal with, and now you've got more changing to do. And now you've got more reckoning to do. And we're getting ready to make one of the biggest steps that we've ever made. I want you to think about this. When Israel was running around that mountain for 40 years, how many of them do you think liked camping? To the end of those 40 years, I'm sure they never wanted to see a tent again. Well, we've been in here for 12 years, and I know there's one over here, and he's half crazy. He likes to tear up and set down and tear up and set down. The rest of us are saying, let it be done with. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to change our fellowship. What do you mean? How many of us stand around and talk while we're tearing down the chairs? How many of us, you know, we go up here and we have our little koinonia stuff and the ladies are putting things away and we're going up there to get our last little snid bit of goodies. Things are going to change. It's not going to be the same. So we've got to build new pathways. We've got to build new things, new relationships. And oh, what a time it's going to be, because God's going to build the character that will be the Heart of Christ Church from the foundation that's already here. But we're going to become different over the years, over the time that is to come. And it's going to be a good thing, because he's going to add more folks to us. And we're going to grow, and we cannot be afraid of that. Can I get an amen? Because it is the goodness of God. It's his plan moving forward. God changes us. God doesn't change. And boy, I cannot wait to preach the first sermon I'm going to preach up there. Well, the dedication sermon. Because we found something. You know, it says in the scripture that there was handwriting on the wall and Hezekiah didn't know what it said and he had to have Daniel come and tell him what it said. Well, guess what? We found some handwriting on the wall, didn't we, Brother Wayne? In gold leaf. I ain't telling you what it says. If you already know, that's good. If you don't, you will find out. Because I'll guarantee you, God has set this thing up. I don't know how long ago, because I need to find the picture and hope there's a date on it from St. John's. But I'm going to tell you right now, I swear with all my soul, this was set up over 100 years ago. I'm not making that up. I am not making that up. God knows what tomorrow holds. And we've got to hold to him. Because as we do, we need to look with spiritual eyes, not physical eyes anymore. Turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to be in verses 16 through 18. Verses 16 through 18. May this word of the Lord comfort your hearts and give you vision, spiritual vision, to see into that which is coming. Therefore, from verse 16 in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Brothers and sisters, God sees things in this move and in this direction that He is giving us that we do not know. But we need to ask God to give us the spiritual eyes to see those things in real time. And He will open our eyes to see those truths, to see those realities. And then we need to accept them and move into them. Because again, Jesus, how many times did He proclaim, "Let he who has eyes see and ears hear"? Because He was talking and exhibiting things in a spiritual manner. And we needed to see that. We needed to hear that. And I am speaking that very same reality to you and I today. That each of us needs to think about where we are, what's going on in our lives. How is God moving me? Where do I see things in the future? How does this play in? You know, God's going to open doors before you. As we make this move, God's going to move in all of you. Each and every one of you. And you need to have your eyes open to see what He wants. And you need to talk about it with other people and see the direction that God is leading us into. Because we're going to see things, you know, the physical things, and it's going to be like, oh man, that's going to be too difficult. Oh, that's going to be, should we really be doing that? Well, the reality is you need to look beyond yourself, look beyond this moment, and look into the future. Look into what God's possibility is. And we need to remember, how many of us have the mind of God? Actually, every one of you has the mind of God if you will submit yourself to Him. And He is who? The Holy Spirit. And God will lead you to the things of God. How many of you here right now know what your pastor's talking about? Because you called me up and you were all worried about this and you were worried about the next thing. And I'd say, yeah, but isn't God doing that? Well, yeah. Well, don't you think He's leading you in that direction? Well, possibly. Well, don't you think you ought to go there? Well, yeah, I have to. Then what are you worried about? We need to simply do and be what God wants us to do and be and trust Him. You know, it's so amazing when I think about this, and I have to remember what God says in Romans 12, 1 through 3, and turn there, because again, you know, it's all focusing back on this. And it's understanding God truly has set us up for all of these things, that if we will but trust in Him and do what He asks, God will do far more than we are exceedingly able to even imagine. From verses 1 through 3, He tells us these words. And they're more than words. It's truly, it's life. It's who we are. Therefore, from verse 1, chapter 12, Romans, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is our spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Because you see, it is as we think by faith that we bring things back into reality, that we can begin to see the spiritual truths that are truly around us, but we have to conform our minds. We have to transform our minds. And how does that happen? Through the Word of God. That we are staying submitted and committed to He who is the Lord. Can I get an amen? Because I'm going to tell you right now, as we get up here and we think it's all about us and we start doing what we want to do because this is the way I want it, it's going to fall apart. And I pray God makes it fall apart. Because you're making that about you. It has to be about Him. All of it. All of it. That's why we're here. That's why we're going. That's why we have our being. Because He's brought it into being. None of us can claim it. None of us. So when we get up there, there won't be any fighting about color of the walls. There won't be any fighting about what's on the church sign. There won't be any fighting about, you know, all this little stupid stuff that people fight about. It's going to be made a decision, and we're all going to say amen. Because we're doing it the easy way. We're going to do it the way that is right and good, that is honoring and pleasing unto the Lord. My opinions don't matter. Okay, I've already had several things brought to me just this very day. And one was brought to me, oh man, you ought to see, Pete, can you show that to the folks? This is really cool. I want you all to see a proposal for our new sign. Y'all didn't know it. We already got a proposal and it's beautiful. Wait till you see this. If you can focus on that, guys, that'd really be awesome. How many of you recognize that cross on there? What is that? That's our cross. Yeah, that's beautiful. It's beautiful. As I look at you know, hey, here we go, right? Here we go. We're going to look at this and we're all going to say, well, now, you know, well, I want that to be pink and yellow and blue stained glass. I don't want the red in there and the green. No. That looks beautiful. Another man designed it, who simply put it into his heart and mind to design something for the Heart of Christ Church. I'm going to tell you right now, I make a motion, we accept that, and we get that. No, it's not a congregational meeting. I can't do that. Marion's looking at me and saying, it don't work that way, Pastor. And that's right. It doesn't. That's the whole point. We understand we have a way that God has determined unto us that we are to be. And that is who we will be. And we'll move in that in unity. Y'all know we can't do anything as the elder board. Nothing happens in this church if the elders are not in 100% unity. Why is that? Because the Scripture tells us we need to be in unity. The Scripture here is telling us the very truth that our minds have to be renewed. It's not about me, it's about Him. And when our minds, doesn't matter how many of them are focused on Him, who comes out? Him, not us. That's some of the pruning that has to happen. That's some of the purging that has to happen. That's some of the laying to the axe to the tree that has to happen. Can you see how this whole thing builds up? But may we remember the promise of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 31. My last scripture today. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 31. We are going to have tribulation. We are going to have to deal with some of these things because some of us are going to say, oh, but I don't like that church sign being gray. Well, guess what? We're going to pray about that and you're going to love gray until we're done praying over you. Because we're going to ask God to transform your mind. I ain't going to convince you of nothing. In fact, I ain't going to tell you nothing. I'm just going to say, well, let's pray. And we're going to pray for 3 weeks. We're going to pray for 6 months. We're going to pray until the healing of the Lord comes. Can I get an amen? Because that's what it takes. The church does not give up. We build with perseverance. Perseverance builds character, and character, hope. For we are pursuing that hope. From verse 28, it says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that we would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Can I get an amen? When we understand where we're going and what God is doing and what he's already brought us through, nothing ahead of us should ever be a stumbling block, but a place where we embrace seeing, knowing, learning about, and loving our God all the more. Can I get an amen? Because that's where we're headed. You know, I think about Israel when they went into the promised land. Here they are, they've been wandering around the desert for 40 years. And now it lays before them, and God says, I'm going to open the way unto you. But guess what? They had to drive out the people who were in front of them, didn't they? God would go before them, and he would send the bees and all this stuff, but they still had to go in. They had to do the work. Guess what? We have to go in. We have to do the work. And as we do, God's going to work all things to good. So as we're going through these trials, as we're going through these tribulations, as we're building perseverance and perseverance is building character and character hope, as we are pursuing that hope, God's going to change us to the good. You know, how many of us, when we're going through something that we don't like, worry about the thing? Oh, I don't like that. I wish somebody would take this away from me. Oh. How many of you realize Romans 8:28 tells us, would you stop and remember that God's working good in your life? How many of you are, when you're going through something bad, when it's miserable, you get up in the morning, you say, oh, I feel horrible. Lord, I can't wait to see what good's coming. Pour it on me, because the more it hurts, the more glory I'm going to see of you. Am I weird or what? That's my life. I know if God's working on me in such a way that things are painful on me, that he's getting ready to reveal a glory about himself. I can't wait to see. And it's amazing how I've been able to transform other people because of that transformation he's done in me. I'm going to tell you right now, I just had a conversation yesterday. And in the midst of pain and hips hurting and knees hurting and all the things that were hurting on Pastor, and a 35-year-old young gentleman says to me, man, Dad, I'm stiff, I'm tired. I said, I'm 62, kid. I said, do you think I feel wonderful? He says, well, probably not. And I'm hobbling around. And I said, no, but guess what? I said, I'm looking at all this. And he just smiled. And he says, and this is abundant life because it's a coming. I said, now you're getting it, boy. Now you're getting it. It takes work. It takes work. And sometimes it hurts. But oh, it builds character that says, I will not quit. I will not quit, for I am pursuing a hope that is so big that nothing can compare. What we knew is only a shadow of what we will know. Can I get an amen, church? Because wait until we actually get to glory and see the real church. Right now, we're just a little part of it. And you think our facility's beautiful? Wait till you see the facility he's built, not with human hands. Can I get an amen, church? So let us not see with temporal eyes, but let us open the spirit of every heart that we would see and know and pursue that hope. And brothers and sisters, I end with this comment. Hope has a name, and his name is church. Let us pray. Father God, we come in the name of hope. For Lord, we have pursued you, and we are yet pursuing you. We are simply moving, we are not arriving, and each and every one of us every day is moving forward into the newness of your grace, your provision, your supplication. And that comes to us through your Son, who is Jesus the Christ. So may we ever be more transformed For Lord, we know as you are giving us these things, so too there is more we need to do, both internally and externally, both temporally and eternally, that we would truly be called children of God, and that the world would be affected by you through us. For Lord, we are but a tool in your hand, and may we be also vessels of grace, love, and compassion, that all the things we have known of you and yet are to be known may be shared with all of our new neighbors and friends. Lord, we're moving, but we aren't done. For tomorrow is a new day, and in it, may you lead us unto the eternal cause of Christ Jesus, who is our Lord. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.